Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conspicuous Podcast. I'm Steve Cranston from Lilac Films. My Twitter is at Lilac Films, and today's episode is a very special one because we're going to be doing our first Q&A session.
Wow.
I'm joined by Stuart.
Hello.
Of Conspicuous CBM, and also our special guest, Jake, from Appetized Business Staffordshire.
I got it right, Steve, this time. You did.
Nailed it. Big mouthful.
It's becoming a tongue twister, that one. Jake, tell us a little bit about your business before we start.
Okay, well, I'm Jake. I'm Appetized Business Staffordshire. We are an app development company. We develop mobile apps for small and medium businesses in Staffordshire.
And your Twitter handle is
at appbstaffs.
Fantastic. And you can talk to Stuart at Conspicuous CBM.
You certainly can.
So we're going to kick this episode off then. So it's question and answers. The theme is all around how technology is impacting businesses. So we collected 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions to go through today. Brilliant. I'm going to have a quick short burst discussions on those ones. So the first question is from Molly Smith. And she says, should a business owner be tech savvy to be successful? Should a business owner be tech savvy to be successful? So, Jake, I'm going to throw it to you. You're the tech business here. Well, we're all tech businesses in some way, I suppose.
I guess we're all tech literate, I guess, yeah.
I think the very short answer is yes, in my opinion. I think you have to have a certain grasp on technology nowadays to keep up with everyone else in terms of your competition. I think it would be a mistake to ignore technology in business in the modern day. So I think, you know, it varies on what your class is savvy. I think you need to have...
So let's break it down. Okay, what does tech savvy mean then? So I assume that to mean, first at the very basic level, understanding computers, probably at a more sort of like a level where we currently are now. It's knowing the ins and outs of social media. It's knowing about digital marketing.
It's how to do an email, being able to email somebody.
Well, okay, if you want to go there.
So you'd go as far as digital marketing?
I think let's include email in there as well. So absolutely, digital marketing as well.
I agree, yeah.
So I think, okay, if you can't send an email, you've got to be in a very, very sort of like... people facing business to get away with it. You could, like a shop owner, maybe you could get away with that, but you're going to struggle at some point because eventually someone is going to sort of say,
send you an email.
Have you seen your TripAdvisor reviews?
Yes, exactly.
That you haven't responded to.
Or, you know, your supplier is going to ask you, you know, is going to send you a quote by email or.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's really hard work not being able to be. My answer to that question is if you're not tech savvy, you know, you've got a real problem.
I do feel very frustrated when. People request me to print out an invoice and post it to them rather than drop them an email with it on. There's not many, but there's a few.
Well, you know, our very kind host that is allowing us to record in this the podcast in his premises, Paul Waters, often tells me that some of his customers are still using the fax machine to fax through their orders and want, you know, their invoices faxed back to them. Can you believe this in today's modern Britain?
I think it just hurts. It hurts only hurting themselves and their business if they refuse to... You know, watch a 30-minute YouTube tutorial on it. You know,
there's a truth about it. It's never been easier to learn about technology. That I think the barrier is the fear of I'm never going to be able to do this, so I won't try.
Exactly.
If you can overcome that, there is everything at your fingertips to show you. Literally, paint my numbers. You watch a YouTube video and you do the same thing, and you can have a website.
And people disguise that sort of fear and security with sort of like, you know, it's not my business. I don't need it. You know. Bluff their way through and
got this far without it. Why do I need this?
What do you know, young man? You know, type thing. You know, and you just immediately spot them because they've got a problem. They're actually scared.
I get that all the time. In the nature of the app business, most people say, you think, what do I need an app for? You know, and it's the same with technology. What do I need technology for? Until someone sits you down and goes through it and educates you on the subject, people don't want to hear about it.
So I think when you look at the amount of businesses that are failing. There is a trend among those that are just refusing to take on your advancements because when the majority are adopting them and you're in the minority that isn't, you're going to struggle at some point. But there are limits. I think, let's face it, you don't all need to be social media wizards. You don't all need to understand digital marketing.
Absolutely not.
And there are people out there that can support you for that. But I think there is a certain requirement that you need to understand the basic workings of Google, the basic workings of email, and if that's beyond you at the moment, then get some help from someone that knows how to do it, because someone else can set it up for you and make it very, very easy. Again, paint by numbers, click here, click there, and voila.
Yeah, smartphone as well.
Very good use of the French term there. Oh,
thank you. I've been spending a lot of time today around the French, so it's going to come out a little bit more, I'm sure. So, Molly, in answer to your question, yes. I think a business owner does have a certain responsibility to engage technology, because it will, in the long run, help them keep ahead of the competition, which is the gaming business. How can you stay at the forefront ahead of your competitors?
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, Ryan Hitchens asks, is it worth learning about technology or acquiring someone to do it for you? And talks about the time management side of that. So we touched upon that a little bit in that last question, but is it worth learning about the technology yourself or acquiring someone to do that for you?
I think it's, in day, you don't have to be an expert in everything, but you need to have a broad appreciation of what's happening around you. So what that means in reality is there are certain things that you're going to feel comfortable doing, that you all the time to invest, you get a good return in investment in terms of understanding, being able to use it proficiently, and those are clearly the things that you should concentrate on. The things that you know are important, but you know you really are never going to grasp, you know, maybe there's a little bit more fundamental technique or technology behind it, or sort of understanding of what's going on. You know, you need to find somebody to help you out, and obviously, in you know, the sort of like flip side of that, you know, you do not need to be an expert in everything. You know, because sometimes you could be wasting time and energy trying to be the jack of all trades and master of none.
Yeah.
But it's really, you've got to have that overall, you know, big picture understanding of why things are important, understand where your strengths are, and you know, and have your weakness covered by other people.
I think Ryan's question is slightly less obvious to answer than Molly's, specifically because he brought up the mention about time management. You know, for someone like Richard Branson, if something crops up new in technology that Richard Branson knows nothing about, if I was Richard Branson, I would assume he would probably get someone to do it for him.
Indeed, and if you look, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we didn't have that questionnaires, but you know, was it a questionnaire about, you know, which one is our favourite platform? But you know, the guys from Apple who are, you know, clearly the top executives of Apple, who are coming out more and more and talking about, you know, the company these days and on podcasts, and clearly, you know, the sort of guy in charge of engineering, Craig Federighi, you know, he clearly is not sitting there writing code, but you know, when you hear him talk, he's got a deep understanding of what's going on, you know, but he's just, you know, it's a management job, he just delegates it and finds other people to do the work. But you know, he seems
still
to be
understands
master,
it, yeah.
You know.
But there are others where they're still very, very actively involved in the operation side of things. Pretty as sure. Well. That's Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg is clearly very, very involved in still actually the ground level work of making the platform work the way it does, involved in coding elements of that as well. So I think there's two sides to it as well. It's not so much as simple as sort of saying, well, what's the value placed on your time as well? If it's going to be detrimental to sort of like the cost of your time, then get someone else to do it.
And I think you know, if something you enjoy doing something, do it. You know, it's no point being there all big headed and up your own, you know, bottom and saying, you know, I'm too important now to sort of to play around technology. You know, if it's fun, have a go. Yeah. You know?
But do you notice a lot of professionals would say, don't do this. Don't make your own videos. Don't do your own social media. Don't even try it because you'll make more of a mess of it than if you had someone fresh to do it. But actually, I think it depends with the attitude you're going into it with. If okay, let's use an example. If you're a small cafe, clearly hiring a social media manager, if you're not a franchise chain, it's not going to be viable. It's not going to be effective. If you can find a bit of time to have 5 minutes a day to put a couple of posts out and take some pictures of some of the nice bakeries that you and things like that you've had in, and put that out on there, that's going to be beneficial to you because it'll create instant engagement on there, and you can't really go that wrong with it.
Yeah.
If you're someone in a sort of like in a more contentious industry and you try and have a go at social media and you make a mess of it, that could be far more serious. So I think it's looking at the circumstances, looking at the situation, and looking at the risks, like everything in business. So if the risks are low and the time's available and it's not going to be detrimental to you actually making money doing what you should be doing, then why not have a go? But clearly, if you're someone where you're doing it at the cost of growth in the business, and
if you're using technology as your excuse, your crutch, not to actually do real business and real decisions, and then stop it now.
That's where you draw the line.
I've been too busy making my website for the past 2 months.
A quotation,
Then we're going to launch it, and we're going to have a big party about that, and everyone's going to buy from it as well. But until then, I'm not touching the business.
Yes, we've met those people.
Okay, so our next question is on a slightly different wave now. It's from Elliot Bell, who's a freelance videographer. And he's asked the question, what are the pros and cons of drones? And do they have a purpose outside of film? Now, drones, of course, have been in the news a lot lately. And one of the most popular new toys out and about there. And have also
sold in the Apple stores as well.
They're sold everywhere. You know, you can go to Asda nowadays, you can find little mini drones in there as well. It's just, they're taking over the world quite literally. And there's clearly a lot of new businesses springing up that are selling professional drone pilot services out there. But let's hear, what's some of the pros and cons of you people outside of the videography world, and what do you think about this?
I think it's there's clearly applications, it's allowing a new ways of portraying your business using the drones, taking a shot from different views, getting data from a different angle. We've seen estate agents using them to do little flybys of the properties trying to sell, or just identify some issues and then give prospective owner buyers a different appreciation of what they're going to buy, different look of what's going on, just little look around, it just gives more data, enriches the buying experience, and the end of the day, those guys are trying to flog houses, which on the standard front looking shop and a few interiors, you get something different which they can add to it, and a bit more rich experience. In fact, helps them convert more customers, and then clearly acquisition of a drone is a good thing.
Now, one of the most interesting ways I've seen drones used, and possibly one of the most profitable as well, has been for roofing companies, where they'd formally have to send surveyors up onto the top of buildings, and that could be a huge cost when you've got a listed building to try and get someone up there to survey what could be quite large premises and quite awkwardly built and not particularly easy to access, not to mention high risk to have a human being go up there, and the cost to have that compared to the cost of flying a drone around. And of course, the quality of these things can put out is quite phenomenal as well. Yeah. And be able to have these pictures taken, see them in real time, and actually to like save a huge amount of time on that as well.
Yeah, it's for survey work of any sort, like those, especially in my days when I was involved in electrical engineering, going over power stations, which are, substations, electrical substations, which are highly dangerous, areas for human beings to go into. Just have an aerial view of what's going on. Would bring a whole level of appreciation of project work, engineering, construction, and I think a fantastic tool.
The thing I think about drones often is that they went through a very, very quick transition very recently, because they're nothing new. I mean, the technology has been out there for a long, long time, that you can, years before you'd be able to buy model helicopters that you could fly and do all sorts of things with. And then almost overnight, they suddenly became commercial, viable, and very, very sort of like efficient. I mean, it was DJI first.
Costs has become more affordable. The quality of the output has come better. And I think the linkage to those to things like iPhones and iPads and stuff like that, and the ability to sort of for people to because I've even seen them where people were because the original controls are quite quite complicated.
Yeah, you get up in the air about 10 metres and that'd be weird, and then it crashed.
It's just like playing video games again. I'm not doing this. This is too complex. But it's another, wristband. You can with your hand movements.
The Lily, which you can throw in the air, and this new drone, and it'll follow you around with the wristband.
Or using I've seen others with iPhones, and literally you're sort of using the sort of movement of your hands, your iPhone, all tracing things.
We were literally talking about the Lily one with a couple of mates the other day, because we're going skiing in December. And I saw the video about this Lily drone. I hadn't seen it before, and I just thought, that is, how hasn't that been done before? It's one of those things where you think, that's amazing. You know, when you see those things every so often, you think, how hasn't that been done before? Or bloody hell, that's, you know.
And I
that
think it's a continuation of the train that started things like GoPro cameras as well.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Same, how hasn't no one thought?
There is an Agile Evolution, or combining the two very popular products of drones and GoPros, putting them together, and you've got this new phenomenal marketplace
that's taken off. With the growth of, the app ecosystem, it's fantastic what you can do.
Well, and I think this is where clearly a technology company is growing thanks to modern technology that is all integrated into the device you have now, that the screen is your phone that you watch on. You plug your phone or your iPad into the device, you put it up in the air. The DJI Phantom that we use, you can fly something, not legally, but you can fly up to 4 miles away and still get a picture to your camera, which is incredible to think you can actually sort of like have that.
And you think about, photos, which we of our podcast recording sessions, obviously Steve's got two microphones and he's using his video camera as a third mic, but there's a screen here, and you can imagine you could put an iPad in that, and it's just effective. That would be your view screen, which you could then record into and then take away and play with. It's just a lens that's just generating that, the output, and that's really effective. It is. It's just a giant lens up in the sky, put it into a, recording it and get it in your phone.
So, do we have any cons?
I think we've got a lot of cons with drones as well. There's some very obvious ones that with any product that starts as a consumer product and. Clearly, I think the biggest thing with drones is that they're low cost in general, that for a fairly robust and capable one is about £500, £600 nowadays. And the damage you can do with it, you basically got a flying lawnmower that you're putting up in the sky. There's a reason that they're now highly regulated by the CAA, but they're not being regulated on an amateur
level
or consumer level.
Clearly not easy to fly. You do need some level of skill. It's not for...
You need a level of common sense. And I think assuming that someone has common sense when they buy a product is clearly going to be a failing.
One of my fellows, Cub Scout leaders, Jason, he's very much into drones, and for many years he's been, we've had him, we've used him on camps, great for kids, show what's going on, but he's involved in flying model planes for 20 odd years, so when he's got the thing in his hands, you feel that this is in the hand of a professional. He gives it to me to play with and it's literally straight down to the ground.
I think the temptation as well may be for people to sort of use them just for the sake of using them. You've got to make sure that the content is rich content and you're not just doing it for the sake of it and to say, oh wow, Jake's drone, that's cool. It's got to be valuable content, and that's more easily applicable to certain businesses than others.
Shiny new toys.
Well, that is it. And I can say, honestly, as a film company, is that it was very exciting when it came out, probably one of the most biggest new changes.
Yeah, I remember
industry.
You talking about it. You seem very,
And then suddenly, it's sort of like, well, actually, how much practical purpose does this really have?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
It's a shiny new toy. And then you realise the commercial side of it is one, very saturated now, and two, not that big. There isn't actually really that big a marketplace for drones now.
That's easily something you could spend a couple of months playing around with and think, where's my business gone? Because
it's
complete distraction of the week.
It looks great, and it makes some clients that's like when we've hired drone operators in the past, and they'll go, "Ooh, that's exciting."
And then.
It's sort of like the novelty wears off, and it's just sort of like, is this really adding anything to it? I guess if you're like estate agents, like you sort of said, and
survey work,
national
sort of
trust properties, things like that. But when you sort of like look at the sort of like the grand scheme of things, when I'm working with people like ATS Euromaster or Midland Heart, and Midland Heart, I guess, is one where it's quite applicable, but small businesses, a small business doesn't need to see an aerial view of their business.
No.
It's like the people that used to pay £50 that aerial view that helicopters would fly around, take a picture of all the businesses. And
still got those photos of my home in Ashford and Kent.
So let's leave drones there as well, but a fun topic anyway. So our next question is from Paul Rivers. Paul Rivers asks, what's better for your company? It's IT. Is it Apple or PC? Should you have an Apple computer or a PC computer? And likewise, should you have an Apple mobile phone or go Samsung and Android?
Okay, well,
before you start, let's solve this very quickly. Hands up if you've got an Apple device.
Three people in this room.
There's three hands up, I can confirm.
So, Paul, please buy Apple from now on. Yes. The next question is...
Stop wasting your time on Android.
Okay, go on, have a debate about it. So, Apple, are they still relevant?
I mean, to be honest, I don't... No offence to those who don't use Apple, but I don't think there is much of a debate, to be honest. Having used both, I can speak from both camps here, and Apple, for me personally, especially in terms of mobile phone, is superior, tenfold. Computers, I'm less experienced on, so I'll let Steve answer that.
I basically, you know, been using Apple computers since 1980 when Apple IIs, and I brought my first Apple IIc in summer of 85. Something like summer 86, I can't remember. But effectively, you know, I've had my first Mac was in 1989, a Mac SC30. So I'm a long life fan. And to be honest, that's the reason I quit corporate world. You know, okay, amongst many other things.
You can have an Apple computer. Exactly. Apple
that's how petty it was, you know. And I could choose my own mobile phone. An iPhone.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of Apple myself, so yeah.
If you're an Android,
I feel slightly biased answering this question, but
so I just don't treat you seriously.
It's a very polarizing question, to be honest.
Yeah,
you either have Apple or you have the other one.
Paul, if you want me to do business with you, get an Apple phone.
So I guess the argument against that someone make is, well, that their cost is inflated for it. So
it's good value for money. That's rubbish. There's no arguments against Steve. I don't know why we bother.
Get what you pay for at the end of the day.
It's
as
good
well.
Quality. It's well made. It works.
I hope my dad's listening to this because he's got a Samsung and I. Do not stop getting on about iPhones. So
I made my 81-year-old mum buy an Apple iPhone, and instead she says, "You buy it, so well, yeah, normally you know, standard phone. We can't help you. We made her buy a Mac as well, so we can help do the sort of long distance, you know, tech support that's required."
Yeah, and you can't.
I mean, okay, so here's a story about it. So I was involved with a church that wanted to upgrade its IT, and they had one member there that was very into his IT, and they'd been offered a choice between the latest Mac of the time and an equivalent PC, possibly slightly bigger. And his big argument was, if the PC breaks, I can fix it, but I can't fix the Mac if it breaks. Well, guess what? The Mac never broke, so it didn't need fixing. Yeah. No, okay, I know that you can come back and sort of say, okay, yeah, Macs break like any other computer, they freeze like any other computer.
And they're much safer, though.
I think that the big thing for me is running a business is how many
PCs have... Do you have time to tinker around with your IT, Steve? No.
How many PCs have viruses on now? Yeah. Let's face it, pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
Unless you've got your own internal IT department, your PC will collect a virus on there because all the developers, I mean, you work in the development world, Jake, they're all targeting PCs because they're still the most corporately used computers. And
it happens
Windows
in the biggest...
is an open source platform. Yeah. So why wouldn't you target that? The Mac OS has been very smart. The while I think has had one or two viruses that have been quickly eradicated. Why would you take that risk with your business for the saving of a few hundred quid?
And it happens to the biggest businesses as well, including Sony.
Yeah.
So we know you're out there. We know that we've been biased and opinionated. That's the whole purpose of this podcast. So so PC fans, tweet us. Tell us why we are wrong, because we want to hear an old snake.
There won't be many.
And we'll ignore you anyway. So
Muted.
Okay, so moving on then from this, we've got a question from Paul Walters. Paul asks, why do old people in business... fear new technology? Why do old people in business fear new technology? So Stuart, you're the oldest person in the room. Tell us, why do you fear new technology?
Well, I don't, so I'm atypical from old people. But I think that it's true that Paul would, you know, say it against himself, you know, he finds out things like cloud technology. He finds it really hard to sort of trust cloud technology. You know, I'm on Dropbox, I've got iCloud, I'm on Google Drive. I'm very happy with cloud technology. I think it's fantastic. It works everywhere. So, you know, we're sitting in a room and he's still backing up his files on his, on some hard disk and he's taking it home. That's ridiculous, you know. I mean, I pull his leg every time I see him do it, and he goes, I know, but I just can't get my head around it, you know. And,
I mean, cloud technology is a deliberately vague term, isn't it? That when you get it, you get it. But when you don't get cloud technology, the fact that you've used the sort of like the idea of it's up in the cloud, it's up in the cosmos somewhere.
Ooh.
When the reality is that it's probably stored in a server somewhere in China and...
Around the world
somewhere. And your data's being held there across multiple platform and multiple sort of hard drives. So it is still physically stored. It's just a case you access it through in a different way. You access it through the internet.
I think with growth of fast internet speed, obviously you've got to go for the right service. You know, Dropbox is clearly, you know, it's got good history, it's reliable, blah, blah, blah. Google solution, iCloud's got better, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Microsoft OneDrive, same camp. You know, you pick the one you like, the you work best with, and just go with it. You know,
I'd say that's a key thing though as well. Is that technology is something I take less risks on now than I used to. That's with Dropbox tried and tested. I used that for a while. Very happy with that. Google Drive, likewise, very happy with that. Then a new one came out called Copy. I don't know if you, came across it.
Yeah, I signed up for an account and it disappears.
And that was it. It lasted 2 years and it offered a great incentive to get people on there as well. Yeah. That was almost too good to be true. It's like you sign up, you get 20 gigabytes of data, and then every person you introduce, you get another 5 gigabytes free when Dropbox is only giving 500 megabytes. Yeah. So it was 10% of 10 times what Dropbox was giving you. And it was great, and I accumulated huge amounts of data on this, and I started to use it as my main one over Dropbox. And then suddenly the notification came through and sort of said, we haven't failed, but we're putting our business in a different direction and it's not going to exist in the next 3 months. Please move all your data. Oops. So clearly that would be an issue for someone, if especially if you just adopted it and you're advised to use something that's not trying to test it, question it.
Yeah, so to be fair to Paul, he's been in business a long time, he's seen lots of things, come and go, and clearly he's naturally aware of it. But I think things like there's lots of technology now which is no longer, which has passed, stood the test of time, it's worked, the kinks have been, worked out. Cloud technology is clearly one of those things. Having a server that you're having to manually play around with, and with all the risks inherent of fire and flood and theft in here, things like that. We had one of our colleagues. She had her database. She'd been religiously backed up, and oops. The IT support forgot to renew the Amazon S3 key, and now the database, which they'd also built, the business relies on, is completely gone. Wiped out. Gone.
You have to be extra super careful. Yeah. So, can't be too careful.
Not to scare people in this as well, but I mean, there is like anything, you've got to be cautious about it, but actually, if it's not your bag, if you don't like computers, that's fine. Talk to an IT professional, because,
and talk to several. Don't just come to the first guy who bedazzles you with lots of talk. Get several opinions. Find out, and the one who wants to spend your money and spend. There was one guy who was telling me he'd gone to some customer, and who was an estate agent up in the Moorlands, and basically this guy had been ripped off of 30 grand's worth of service. Literally, I can give you a little email. And cloud-based solution, it'll cost you a few hundred quid. The guy was literally, dropped out, crying these tits. Well, sorry, you've been ripped off.
So this is probably part of the issue as well, is that IT isn't like for like, that you can go to, they do talk a different language, that's fair to say, and I'm sure all the IT companies that we know here would openly agree that they may try their best to talk in language people understand, but if you've got no IT speak in there, they will be talking a different language to you.
Yeah.
And it's not like for like that. If you can't go to one person and say, I need a computer, and all the IT companies will give you the same price for a computer. It's not like buying a tin of beans. It's a case that they will sort of say, oh, what do you want to do for it? Oh, well, you need this one. And the cheaper one won't always be the best one. The most expensive one may not be the most relevant one for what you need for that. So I think the best thing I could say, the best advice I could give you is have an independent third party, a business mentor, someone like that, that does understand the technology and has no financial incentive to see any one company chosen, and can help you independently select an IT provider.
Or introduce you to other suppliers, who potentially give you different answers and different solutions, Shop around, folks, I think is the answer to that question.
Or the old age thing of having a referral and a recommendation from someone that is tried and tested and trusted is always a good way. And of course, if you're in need, we know many great IT providers, so come to us and ask us that question, and we will direct you into some for that. But we haven't got to the root of the problem, though. Why do old people... old people, that's ageist, isn't it? We can't say that.
I'm an old person, so it's fine. I think at the end of the day, I think it's... They have seen, if you've been around in business a long time, you've seen lots of, technology cycles, you've seen things come and go, you're naturally cautious, you don't want to get on the shiny new thing. But I think after a while, certain things these days, cloud technology, mobile phones, the app technology, ecosphere, call it what you want, broadband, fast broadband, these are all things which are now tried, tested, and it all works everywhere. At this point,
it's just easy to fall into the trap that if you haven't indulged in technology up until that point in your life, why do it now is what people make the mistake of thinking.
I think
it's never too late to have a play.
No, I think that is old age thing of, well, I've always done it this way. I mean, I, one of the business owners I know that, again, I had a tremendous respect for, he said, well, I've always done it this way. I do my accounts with pen and paper. I will not touch a computer because I don't know what happens to it when it goes away. But what happens when the fire hits?
It's when
what happens when all these other things happen?
People see that, like, I know a few people who see this, my Apple smartphone, then they pull out their old Nokia that's, you know, 20 years old. And they, you know, they do this sort of joke. They say, well, it does calls and texts, doesn't it? And it's, you just want to say, you know, this, you, they don't understand how much you can get out of technology, and you know it can improve your quality of life.
I go back to what we said before. They're scared, and yeah, so they're basically that sort of jokey little dance they do, and we've all seen it.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean,
it's their sort of slightly prophetic,
completely, you know, narrow-minded, and you know, if you know,
front defence.
Yeah.
Although I love that it's now a new hipster thing to have one of the old Nokia 3310s or whatever they were. And have
a horrible phone. You can't make a phone call on it, you know. Well,
they sort of say it does everything I need to do. I can text exactly. on it, and
yeah,
I can.
But you've seen, you've got to go through 50 menus before you can send a text.
Which is,
I've got time to waste.
Yeah. I mean,
how inefficient. So, moving on from this, let's go on to the question from Carl Barlow. Carl asks, why do people buy shiny new technology toys instead of making good use of their old systems or toys? Products, whatever it costs.
And I think it's an interesting since, you know, the next follow-on question to one to the couple of ones we've had on before. You know, people get seduced. You know, you could say the drones is a classic example.
No, we could say your new MacBook could be your seducer on that. Let's
oh, no, it's a very valuable.
All of us do it. Yes, we all do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And my new iPhone, it would be especially my success was my special little baby. You know, I loved it more than I loved my wife and kids. But I think.
I'm laughing because it's true.
It's just a stigma around it of having this new thing, and it's. I think
people do invest in new things. They do get seduced. People, you know, it's smooth talking young entrepreneurs like Jake come along, and go, you know, come on, you need to get yourself an app, you know, and stuff like that. And you know, and I'm a great believer in the app ecosphere, but maybe that's not the right solution. Maybe you should just get your bloody web, you know, your website working better. Investing in a shiny new app from Jake is today maybe not the right solution. Get your old one working better, you know. Things like that. It's not to, you know, if it's right, you should invest it. And please, you know, contact Jake for your latest, you know, app thing. But it's like, you know, we had that discussion with Tilly. People buy all these videos they want to be made by Stephen Tilly, and they never put them on the internet.
They
get seduced by the fashion. They feel they have to do it in order to be relevant.
We're confusing the question here, because I think what Carl's actually talking about is the things you use within your business. So industry, in the film industry, we call it kit porn. That's the kit porn.
Wow.
Yeah. There K-I-T. Is always...
K-I-T, not K-I-D.
Yes. I'm going to edit this out, aren't I?
Leave it in. This is real life podcasting.
K-I-T.
It's a talking point.
K-I-T.
Yeah.
Kit.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you just see Steve's face now, you know, we've really put a pro off his stride.
So anyway, what we're talking about on this is there's always a new video camera coming out for it, and they will put out these trailers where they will basically be sort of like these close-up sexy panning shots of it. Mm. They'll show sort of like the new lens holder in there for it. They'll show an extra close-up of the viewfinder and show how many pixels it's got in there. And they will say, you must have this because your old video camera can't do what this one can do. But the sad truth is that I think businesses can get seduced by this type of... I'm not going to say the word again now, just for... they can get seduced by it, and they just don't think, I've got to make money from this equipment. I've got to find a way
put this to work. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's, you know, it's a basic...
Your clients care whether you've got a camera that is 6 months old or 3 years old if the result is still great?
You know, it's fundamental of business, you know, that spending on capital expenditure has got to be tightly controlled, you know, because people can waste money. You know, I remember my days of Rolls-Royce or a Eurotunnel or a Riva, you know, we'd spend millions of pounds on real pieces of kit, and you'd think about it really hard and you'd do business cases, but it made you think about it, you know, and the end of the day, you know.
How is it going to pay for itself? Is the question you should be asking.
Sometimes you prevaricate too long and the opportunity is lost. Clearly, there's many examples of that, but another time we were made to think about it by top bosses. You know, why do you need this? You know, why are you spending this money? You know, this is, you know, they really were hurting to spend the money, but you know, the discipline of doing that and going through it and thinking about it is actually we don't need that. I mean, the shiny new kit, the old one will do.
The counter to that is staying ahead of your competition
and
being that first 11% of the population who are the forward thinkers and the early adopters of new technology. And, you know, taking that, not gamble, if you will, but you know, taking that extra investment to buy the new shiny thing, you know, it can be, you know, very beneficial. It can give you that return on investment very quickly. So, you know, there are success stories out there. But I totally agree that, you know, people do get sucked in by it, and, you know, there are a lot of unnecessary purchases, I'm sure.
And, you know, especially, you know, you can see these shiny mobile devices. Some people feel they have to have the latest one from Apple every year. But it's really, you know, one that's 2-3 years old is perfectly good, you know, and lasts long and it'll do all the things, you know. And, and these days, you know, you can't, you know, because obviously we're only buying Apple. You know, my MacBook Air is coming up to, you know, nearly 4 years old, and it's working perfectly fine. It will last another 2-3 years without a problem. You know, I don't need to replace it.
And this is the thing I think you've got to think about.
Sweat the asset.
Just because you're in business, you don't need to buy out all the latest mods and cons for that. Your first thought should be, how am I actually going to generate a cash flow? If you're a startup business, it's very, very tempting to all these shiny things.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Why do I need to invest in all these new systems? Do I need all these new, new things? Yeah, even I see things like, you know, let's go with things like Xero. Xero, I think, is a fantastic product. But then people add in all these additional attached modules to it, you know, because I think this is going to help the thing. It's not. You know, they're just, you know, basic Xero will do just fine out of the box. Just use that properly. You don't need anything else. You know, you use what you've got more efficiently. Be disciplined.
Especially, more importantly, in a new business as well, we should emphasize that it's much more important to not rack up a list of bills of all the new technology. You know, people might fall into the trap of thinking, new business, if I'm going to give myself the best shot here, I'm going to need all the best stuff. Right, and I'm going to need all the leading technology stuff.
I need to get a website done, you know. If I get a website, my business is going to fly.
And then they buy all this flash stuff, and rather than focusing on, you know, getting revenue in, and down the drain you go.
It's about priorities. That is the key thing about it. And your priority in business is essentially, you're not there to basically just be buying toys. It's there to actually...
And it's your Apple toys.
Apple toys aren't toys.
Well, the toys are available.
This is true. They're not toys. They are, you know, they're absolutely...
They are the heart of your business.
Necessities.
So if you haven't got an Apple computer, just go out and buy one now.
Yeah, please. Paul, go and buy yourself an Apple computer.
And Apple, if you're listening, our sponsorship is available.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Very, very good rates.
Yes, indeed. In fact, it'd be nice to have a nice, brand new, shiny Apple computer on Paul... Paul Walters' desk.
Right, before this falls apart, we're going to draw this to a close here on this. But do tell us, what are your questions you've had around technology? What are things that have hindered you? What things have you just found, that's a fantastic piece of software, changed the way that I operate my business for that? We want to hear the success stories. We want to hear the failure stories.
What have you wasted money on? Yeah,
we'll do a follow-up episode on that to discuss them. But thank you again to all the people that put questions forward for this episode. And we hope the debate here has been helpful. And... again, apologies about all the Apple promotion in here.
None whatsoever.
You don't have to buy Apple.
You do.
We'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for
Cheers,
listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.